Good afternoon, everyone. Happy Sabbath, and greetings to those of you who are on the webcast, and welcome to any guests that we may have. Mr. Mark Mickelson, one of our ministers in the Northeast, who at one time directed the United Church of God operations in a part of Africa, commented that some of the brethren and the ministers there, they look upon the United States as a land of plenty, a land of beauty, and everything that everyone would wish to have, especially those from third world countries. And they look upon the United States as a foretaste of the world tomorrow. And they look upon their part of the world as picturing the tribulation. When you live in a third world country where you don't have running water, or you may have to travel a distance in the community to get water, and in some cases you may have to go to a lake, or you don't have a Winn-Dixie or Publix or Walmart Supercenter nearby, and your choices for food may be very limited. You don't have 10 or 12 different brands of cornflakes or 6 or 7 different types of meat. Your choices are very limited. So you can begin to see that the members of God's church in that part of the world, or any third world country, would want to be a part of the United States. And you can also see that they are looking forward to the time when they are born into God's kingdom. Today, when we look at the United States, it is beset with very serious problems that no presidential candidate, despite what they say, can solve. We as members of God's church are looking forward to a time of peace, righteous living, and being a part of God's kingdom and living forever. The plans, the promises, and the prophecies of the Bible all lead to one thing, a potential almost beyond the comprehension of any human being. What does God have in store for you and I? My title is Our Future, Living Forever as Sons and Daughters of God in His Kingdom. In 2 days, we will be keeping the first of the fall festivals, holy days, as Mr. Russ mentioned. Picturing the return of Jesus Christ, the Feast of Trumpets, who will set up his government with the first fruits of his kingdom. Here's a little humor about time and eternity. A man was taking it easy, lying on the grass, looking up at the clouds. He was identifying shapes when he decided to talk to God. God, he said, how long is 1,000,000 years? God answered, in my frame of reference, it's about 1 minute. The man asked, God, how much is $1,000,000? God answered to me, it's a penny. Then the man asked, God, can I have a penny? Hopefully you got the punchline. Let's take a look at those who have gone before us. Figures, biblical figures such as Noah, Joseph, Moses, Hannah, Daniel, and Ezekiel, and many others, who, although their lives were physically temporary, these righteous men and women hungered deeply for the permanency of their eternal spiritual life with God. Let's read about them in Hebrews 11, verse 13 through 16. Hebrews 11, verse 13 through 16. Verse 13. These all died in faith, not having received the promise, but having seen them afar off, were assured of them, embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. Verse 14. For those who say such things declare plainly that they seek a homeland. And truly, if they had called to mind that country from which they had come out, they would have had opportunity to return. Verse 16. But now they desire a better, that is, a heavenly country. Therefore God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared a city for them. We also, as members of God's church, can be inspired by this faithful vision that motivated John, the Apostle Peter, and Apostle Paul, and many others. Life Application Study Bible comments about verse 13 through 16. It states that many Christians become frustrated, defeated, because their needs, wants, and expectations and demands are not immediately met when they believe in Christ. They become impatient. They quit. They get tired. They burn out. They get tired of fighting and look upon this way of life as a fight that is too big to continue on. It goes on to say, are you discouraged because the achievements of your goal seem far away? Take courage from these heroes of faith who lived and died without seeing the fruit of their faith on earth, yet they continued to believe. What do we know about eternity? In John 14, verse 2 and 3, it tells us that God has a place prepared for us. In 1 John 3 and verse 2, it tells us that we will be like Jesus Christ, something that we as human beings have a very difficult time comprehending. And in 1 Corinthians 15:44, it tells us that we will have new bodies, not physical but spiritual. And in Revelation 21 and verse 1, I'll read that one. Revelation 21 and verse 1. It tells us about a new environment. Verse 1. Now I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and there was no more sea. Also in verse 4 of that same chapter, we are told that there will be no more death. And we are told also that death is a sting. Verse 4 of Revelation 21. And God will wipe away every tear from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, nor sorrow, nor crying. There will be no more pain, for the former things have passed away. What does the Bible say about our awesome potential? We read about it in Mark 1, verse 14 and 15. Mark chapter 1, verse 14 and 15. Verse 14 of Mark 1. Now after John was put in prison, Jesus came to Galilee preaching the gospel of the kingdom of God. Verse 15, saying, the time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe in the gospel. Jesus Christ will return as king of an everlasting kingdom. It is the best news that human beings can ever hear, even though most of the world does not know that. We are looking forward to that time when Jesus Christ will return. Not only will he bring peace, he will save mankind from self-destruction. He will bring peace. He will show us the way of life that will produce true happiness and fulfillment without aim. Jesus Christ preached the kingdom of God. So did Peter and Apostle Paul and all those who followed Jesus Christ. We, on the other hand, we must remain faithful. It takes work and it takes dedication. If we decide to follow God, therefore, how can we remain faithful while facing the difficulties of everyday life in this age of unrighteousness? The answer should be no more different for you and I than it was for those who came before us in faith. We must clearly picture ourselves in God's coming family photo and never allow it to go out of focus. Let's read Hebrews 12 and verse 1. Hebrews 12 and verse 1. Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 1. Therefore, we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witness, let us lay aside every weight and sin which so easily ensnare us. Let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. Barnes notes on the Bible comments on Hebrews 12 and verse 1. It states that laying aside every weight as applied to Christians, it means that we should remove all which would obstruct our progress in this Christian course. Thus, it is fair to apply it to whatever would be an impediment in our efforts to win the crown of life. It is not the same thing in all persons. It goes on to state that in one it may be pride, in another vanity, in another worldliness, and in another a violent and almost ungovernable temper, in another a corrupt imagination, in another a heavy laden insensible heart, in another some improper and unholy attachment. Whatever it may be, we are exhorted to lay it aside, and this general direction may be applied to anything which prevent our making the highest possible attainment. To do that, we must repent of our sins and live by Jesus' example of righteous obedience to his Father. And that is described in John chapter 15 and verse 10. John 15 and verse 10. John chapter 15 and verse 10. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. We can look at the example of Jesus Christ and how he explained how we can put character into practice in our life. Before he began his ministry, he fasted 40 days in the Judean wilderness. He was tempted at that time by the devil. Satan challenged him to turn stones into bread. What did Jesus Christ say? We read that in Matthew 4 and verse 4. Matthew chapter 4 and verse 4. Matthew 4 and verse 4. But he answered and said, "It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God." What part will the vast universe having our potential. Let's read over, turn over to Psalm chapter 8 and verse 3 and 4. And we'll see David describing the vast universe. Psalms chapter 8, verse 3 and 4. Verse 3. When I consider your heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars which you have ordained. What is man, verse 4, that you are mindful of him, and the son of man that you visit him? When we look at creation, we often feel small, quoting from Life Application Study Bible comments on verse 3 and 4. By comparison, but God does not want us to dwell on our smallness. Humility means proper respect of God, not self-depreciation. Now, what I'm about to describe may sound like, well, he had too much to eat or he worked too hard. But oftentimes, or not often, but occasionally I have a dream where I'm fleeing from Satan. And maybe some of you all have had that type of dream or not. But to describe what I'm saying is, in a dream, you're fleeing from Satan and you're going through the clouds and you break through the clouds and there's a vast, unlimited space. And then you wake up. But there's another scientist or engineer, which many of you probably have read about last Tuesday, billionaire Elon Musk, outlined plans to get hundreds of people to Mars. It would take 80 plus days to reach Mars. But as spirit beings, we will be able to reach the planets or anywhere as quick as the blink of an eye, or even quicker. And continuing on with the theme from Psalms 8, let's turn over to Hebrews 2 and verse 7 and 8. Hebrews chapter 2, verse 7 and 8. Reading from the New Living Translation, Hebrews chapter 2, verse 7 and 8. For a little while you made him lower than the angels, speaking of mankind, and you crowned him with the glory and honor. You give him authority over all things. Now when it says all things, it means nothing is left out. But we have not yet seen all things of this happening. This is quoting from New Living Translation. King David was pondering our place in the universe now and recognize how insignificant we are. Yet as the commentary on this passage by the writer of Hebrews shows, God has planned to put the entire universe under us. Some additional notes about this verse, quoting from Barnes Notes on the Bible. When we survey the heavens and contemplate their glories and think of the exalted rank of other beings, we may well inquire, why has such honor been conferred upon man? The part of that verse that says, you crown him with glory and honor. That is, with an exalted honor. Glory and honor here are nearly synonymous. The meaning is that elevated honor and has been conferred on human nature. A most exalted and extended dominion has been given to man, which shows that God has greatly honored him. What will faithful followers of Christ be given? in Daniel chapter 7 and verse 18. We read about those who are faithful to God's way of life. Daniel chapter 7 and verse 18. But the saints of the Most High shall receive the kingdom and possess the kingdom forever, even forever and ever. One of the questions we may have or may be asked of us, what should be our spiritual and physical priorities? Some of the comments I will be making here from the remainder of the sermon are from an article written by Mr. John LeBoussinier titled God's Spiritual Family. Jesus' point was that what is spiritual and eternal is most important. His followers must prioritize their lives properly. It's another way of saying seek first the kingdom of God, as we read in Matthew 6 and verse 33. Another important element is that we live a fruitful, joyful life now as we prepare to enter God's kingdom and to make the kingdom of God our number one goal. He also wants you and I to grow in the grace and knowledge as you unselfishly serve others. And that's quoting from 2 Peter 3 and verse 18. Jesus also said in John 4 and verse 23, John chapter 4 and verse 23. John chapter 4 and verse 23. But the hour is coming, and now is, when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth, for the Father is seeking those to worship Him. We also have an opportunity to fulfill Christ's words at this time. Let's look at Ephesians 1 and verse 18. Ephesians 1 and verse 18. Verse 18 of Ephesians 1. The eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of His calling, what are the riches of glory of His inheritance in the saints. Quoting from Barnes' notes on the Bible on this verse in chapter 1 of Ephesians, the eye is the instrument by which we see. And in like manner, the understanding is that by which we perceive truth. The idea here is that Paul not only wished their hearts to be right, but he also wished their understanding to be right also. For thousands of years, the world has struggled under Satan's influence, his deception and oppression. But after Jesus Christ returned to this earth in an awesome glory to intervene in human affairs, He will put an end to every evil. Let's turn over to Matthew 25 and verse 31. Matthew 25 and verse 31. Matthew 25 and verse 31. When the Son of Man comes in His glory and all the holy angels with Him, then He will sit on the throne of His glory. We all, as members of God's family, born into His kingdom, we have an awesome future that awaits us. mankind's evil rule and his influence by Satan will ultimately be replaced with Jesus Christ's righteous leadership. And read that in Matthew 24, and we read verse 30. Matthew 24 and verse 30. Matthew 24 and verse 30. Then the sign of the Son of Man will appear in heaven, and then all the tribes of the earth will mourn, and they will see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. At the same time, Satan and his demons will be imprisoned in the blackness of darkness, as we will picture during the observance of the Day of Atonement. We read that in Revelation 20 and verse 1 and 2. Revelation 20, verse 1 and 2. Revelation 20, verse 1 and 2. Verse 1, then I saw an angel coming down from heaven, having the key to the bottomless pit, and a great chain in his hand. Verse 2, and he laid hold of the dragon, that serpent of old, who is the devil, and Satan, and bound him for 1,000 years. After this, this will be when God's spiritual family begins to save the world at large at the time of Christ's arrival, pictured by the Feast of Trumpets. His faithful servants, either living or are resurrected from dead if they have died prior to his return, will be transformed into immortal spirit beings. They will be clothed in stunning glory and granted everlasting life. In Revelation 3 and verse 5, Revelation chapter 3 and verse 5, part of the letter to the seven churches, Revelation 3 and verse 5, it tells about the ones who overcome. He who overcomes shall be clothed in white garments, and I will not blot out his name from the book of life, but I will confess his name before my Father and before his angels. Life Application Study Bible comments on verse 5 of Revelation 3. To be dressed in white means to be set apart for God and made pure. Christ promises future honor and eternal life to those who stand firm in their faith. The names of all believers are registered in the book of life. This book symbolizes God's knowledge of who belongs to him. They will also, those born in God's kingdom, will be given vast responsibilities under him to govern on earth as kings and priests, as 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 21 tells us. And let's turn over to 1 Thessalonians 4 and we read verse 16 and 17. 1 Thessalonians 4, verse 16 and 17. Verse 16 of 1 Thessalonians 4. Talking about when Jesus Christ will descend from heaven. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of an archangel, and with the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. then we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And thus we shall always be with the Lord. Jesus Christ and his divine family will bring a magnificent changes to the world. The earth wasteland will be fully transformed into a gorgeous, productive area. People will experience God's loving compassion through miraculous healings. As Isaiah 35 and verse 5 tells us, Isaiah 35 and verse 5, then the eyes of the blind shall be opened, and the ears of the deaf unstopped. Humanity will never again suffer the anxiety and the cruelty and the devastation of war as we see today in our world today, in Syria, Afghanistan, Iraq, and many parts of Africa. Nations will not live in fear, but they will have genuine peace as the knowledge of God fills the entire world. Can we get a picture of that? Can we grasp that? God has given you and I the opportunity to help bring it all about. Our destiny is to share in God's glories as members of his divine family on his level. He wants it to mean more to you and I than anything else in life. What will you and I do? Remember, God is creating a spiritual family, and he wants all of us to be in that family. Is the incredible future God has prepared for us beyond normal human comprehension? Let's read 1 Corinthians 2 and verse 9. 1 Corinthians 2 and verse 9. But as it is written, the eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor have entered the heart of man the things which God has prepared for those who love him. Humanity's wildest dreams are only a shadow compared to God's great plans for us. Quoting from Life Application Study Bible in verse 9, is as the quote I just completed. What is the wonderful relationship does God has, what wonderful relationship that God has planned for us? What will we be like? We read in 1 John 3 and verse 1 through 3. 1 John 3, verse 1 through 3. Verse 1 of 1 John 3. Behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed on us, that we should be called the children of God. Therefore, the world does not know us, because it did not know him. Verse 2. Beloved, now we are children of God, and it has not yet been revealed what we shall be, but we know that when he is revealed, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And verse 3, and everyone who has this hope in him purifies himself, just as he is pure. As incredible as it may seem, we are to be like God. He wants to add us to his divine family as his own beloved children. In Revelation 21, beginning in verse 11, where it describes the New Jerusalem, And in verse 20 through 27, I'll read verse 22 through 27. Revelation 21. Where it describes a city that is filled with the glory of God and His divine family. Revelation 21, 22 through 27. Verse 22. But I saw no temple in it, for the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are its temple. The city had no need of sun or the moon to shine in it, for the glory of God illuminated it. The lamp is its light. Verse 24. And the nation of those who are saved shall walk in its light, and the kings of the earth bring their glory and honor into it. Its gate shall not be shut at all by day. There will be no night there. And they shall bring the glory and honor of the nations unto it. Verse 27. But there shall be by no means in it anything that defile or cause an abomination or a lie, but only those who are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. What does Jesus Christ tells us at the end of the Bible? We read in Revelation 22 and verse 12. Revelation 22 and verse 12. Behold, I am coming quickly. My reward is with me to give to everyone according to his work. And after exploring this incredible vision, the world beyond us today, we all can reply, as verse 20 of Revelation 22, even so, come, Lord Jesus, come. As I summarize, we have seen that those who faithfully follow God will be given eternal life. We have a very incredible future line ahead of us. It's beyond our human comprehension. God has a wonderful relationship planned for each of us. We will be like Him, working in His realm as spirit beings.